Crestview family, is everybody awake? I know Isabel was not awake until we got here. So, welcome to Crestview Baptist Church this morning. It is Easter Sunday morning, and I'm going to take some of Artie's thunder. He's going to smack me. He is risen.
He is risen
indeed. That's right. After a what seemed to be a terrible Friday, Sunday has come. It's here. Welcome to Crestview. Like I said, thank you for choosing to come worship with us on this wonderful Easter Sunday morning. If you're a guest or visiting with us for the first time, we especially welcome you, and we would like to know a little bit more about you. There are some cards that you can fill out in the pews in front of you, and you drop it in the offering plate, just so we'll get to know you a little bit more. I'm not going to bore you with a bunch of announcements, except for to remind you about our Wednesday night services this week, and to let you know that there is a breakfast immediately following service today. Come join us for that. And then our first Saturday meal is coming up next Saturday. That's right. And other than that, I just want to, like I say, welcome you here. And as already comes up, I just invite you to worship our Lord and Savior together with us this morning.
I'm going to tell you something. As you walk into or up onto the stage, that sunrise is shining right through that window above that door right there, and it is blinding bright. Can you imagine what they saw and peered into that open grave that morning? Because the Bible says that angel that was sitting there to announce that Jesus had risen from the dead shone bright as the sun. So that is incredible. But it is good to see everybody this morning. And I know Chad stole my thunder, but I'm going to do it again, because you guys have been watching the NCAA tournament. And I know some of you guys' teams are not in there, but there's a big game happening this afternoon. But what's happening, what we're celebrating this morning, eclipses that. So all that energy that you would have yelling at your TV, I want you to put into this. He is risen. That is much better. So let's go to Lord in prayer as we begin our worship time this morning. Our blessed Heavenly Father, we come bowing before you. Dear Lord, this may not be the exact day that Jesus rose from the dead. Friday may not have been the anniversary of his death, but dear Lord, there are days that we celebrate those times. Last week we talked about how Jesus was our Passover lamb. Dear Lord, Passover is not until the end of April. But dear Lord, today is the day that we have chosen to celebrate your resurrection. Dear Lord, as Chad said, Friday was a horrible day. We call it Good Friday, not because good things happened, dear Lord, but because you showed us your mercy, grace, and love on that day. Dear Lord, you provided us with salvation that day. But today, dear Lord, today is the day that we celebrate the completion of your plan and the fact that Jesus did not stay dead, but he rose from the grave. We thank you for that, and we praise you for that. Dear Lord, as we sing our songs, as we go through this service, dear Lord, I know a lot of us have plans this afternoon and a lot of family activities, but just for this hour, dear Lord, take all those distractions away from us. Allow us to focus on you, because today, dear Lord, today is the day that we celebrate. Today is the day that changed everything. We praise you for that. May you receive all the honor and glory for everything. And it's in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our living and resurrected Savior, we pray. Amen.
Would you stand as we sing? You know, we are here to worship our risen Savior, and it's just marveling to think it was absolutely impossible for death to keep its hold on Jesus. He is risen indeed. So let us sing page 160, Lo in the Grave He Lay. Worshiping at this time by giving up our gifts, tithes, and offerings. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, our risen Savior, our friend, we thank you for the many blessings you have given us. And now I ask that you bless this gift and the giver, for it is your name that we pray. Amen. Would you stand again as we sing hymn 161, Crown Him with Many Crowns.
Take glory, find all him.
I'm going to invite the kids to come down forward this morning. I know we got a couple here. It'll be a little different today, guys. I'm going to send you back to your seats when we finish. But I want to ask you guys, here, have a seat here, girls. You guys like surprises? Do what? You know what your surprise is? I didn't know you was getting a surprise today. We have all kind of I like surprises. If somebody gives you a gift or something and it's a surprise, or maybe you guys ever seen a Jack in the Box? That's what I wanted to bring, but I don't have a Jack in the Box, and I wasn't going to go get one for this. And you turn that knob on a Jack in the Box, and then all of a sudden, you don't know when it's going to happen. It just pops out, right? That is scary, right? There's a movie where there's an elf and he's testing Jack in the Boxes, and he jumps every time one comes out. He gets surprised. The elf. Isabel knew what movie it was. But surprises are good, and a surprise is usually when you find something that you didn't know was going to happen. But the biggest surprise that ever happened is what we're celebrating today. I want to read you some scripture. Listen to this. It says, now, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb, and then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. That's Luke 24, 1 through 3. And that is the first account we have of the very first Easter morning. Jesus had been crucified and died on the cross for us. And he had been put in a tomb. And on the third day, the ladies were coming to take care of his body. And when they got there, they found a big surprise. But it wasn't that they found something was there. It was that something wasn't there that they expected to be there. And that was the body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Why wasn't it there? Because he was alive. He rose from the dead. Easter is so important and a lot for us, for everybody. We think about big holidays of the year, and we think about Christmas, and we're celebrating the birth of Jesus. But without Easter, Christmas would have just been another kid's birthday. Without the resurrection, we wouldn't be able to have Christmas and things like that. Isn't that cool? That Jesus died on a cross for our sins, and on the third day, he rose up from the grave. So one day he's going to come back and get us again. Did you know that? Isn't that awesome? And he's going to take us with him, and we'll be able to spend an eternity with him in heaven. All we have to do is turn our life over to Jesus and accept that he died and rose again for our sins, and accept that forgiveness, and just choose to live a life following him. And so as you go out and you hunt Easter eggs today, it's going to be a beautiful day outside. I know you guys are going to be hunting Easter eggs and doing all kind of things. Those things are great. But I want you to be sure you remember what it's all about, that we're celebrating the risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's go in the Lord in prayer. God, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for a time we get to celebrate the spring. We get to celebrate all the new life. And we get to celebrate the new life that we have through your death and resurrection on the cross. Lord, help us to keep that in the forefront of our mind today as we celebrate Easter and carry it with us through every day of this year. All this I ask in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, choir. Before we get to the scripture, I wanted to tell you some things that I have been seeing on the internet. Of course, you know, Facebook, there's a lot of very smart theologians that post on Facebook. You know that sarcasm, right? Okay. One of the things is I've seen lately is said that that the resurrection of Jesus was fake because there's no way that Friday to Sunday is 3 days. What I have to let you know is this, is that you got to remember how Jewish people accounted for days. Their days went from sunset to sunset. Okay, that was one day. And if you remember, Jesus died on Friday, and they went to the Romans saying, can we have the body because we've got to get it down and in the ground before what? Saturday, Sabbath. We can't do anything during Sabbath. Well, he died on Friday. In the Jewish way of thinking and in their mindset, that's one day. If you die on Friday, guess what? Friday counts as a day. So he was dead Friday. Saturday was the Sabbath. He was in the grave the entire time of Sabbath. He had not been anointed. He had not been prepared for burial. He was just wrapped and put in the ground or put in the tomb on Friday. Friday counts as one day. Saturday's counts as the second day. The Sabbath was the second day. Scripture tells us that he would rise, right? I started to say rose and rise at the same time, that he would rise again from the dead on what day? The third day. What was Sunday? The third day. You have to think about the context of what is being said and the language that's being used. And our American way of thinking, our Western way of thinking, including Europe, that's not the way we count. But in the Jewish mindset of the time, that's how they counted. So on the third day, he rose again. Is there anything contrary to that? He rose on the third day. Okay? So, our focal passage for this morning is Matthew 28, verses 5 through 6. But actually, I'm going to start with verse 1. So, Trey, if you could fix that for me. We're going to start in verse 1. It's all going to be on the screen, but only verses 5 and 6 are going to be in the bulletin. So this is what it says. If you would stand with me as I read God's Word. Matthew 28, verses 1 through 6. This is what it says. Now after the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to look at the grave. And behold, a severe earthquake had occurred, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled away the stone and sat upon it. And his appearance was like lightning, and his garment as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. And the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who has been crucified. He is not here, for he has risen just as he said. Come see the place he was lying." Let's pray. Dear Lord, speak through me this morning. As we look at what Scripture says and the importance of what is said here and what Matthew records, bless the reading of your word. Speak through me today. And it's in the holy and precious name of Jesus Christ, our living Savior, we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. The first thing that the angel says to these women is what? Do not be afraid. Why? Why did they say that? Look at Matthew at verse 5. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who has been crucified." Don't be afraid. See, here's the thing we have to realize is that the resurrection is a source of shame and eternal terror for the unbeliever. If you do not believe in a resurrected Jesus, a resurrected Messiah, then you will face eternal damnation. The world knows that, but they don't care. Paul says, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that God raised him from the dead, you will what? Be saved. Unbelievers, it's a source of shame. They want to disprove it. They don't want to accept it. The Jewish leaders, they didn't want to accept it. They wanted to make up lies. And there's all these theories about what actually happened, the swoon theory, that Jesus just passed out and they thought he was dead and they buried him. And that he woke up and pushed this couple of ton boulder out of the way and walked out. Another theory is that he just lied. They made up the story. The disciples and him were in cahoots and they just made up the story. But I'm going to ask you, Eleven of the disciples from the day of Pentecost on gave up their life. They were tortured. They were killed for a lie. These fishermen, these men that were not educated, that preached the one of the most powerful sermons ever preached on the day of Pentecost, did it for a lie. Does that make sense to you? Over the centuries, there have been martyrs that have given up their life for belief in Jesus Christ. Even today, in different countries around the world, people are giving their lives because of their belief in Jesus Christ for a lie. See, they try to disprove it because it's a source of shame, and they have to come face to face with their own lostness. A lot of people don't want to come to church because they don't want to be confronted with the fact that their life, their chosen way of living, goes against God's plan and His Word. They don't want to be made to feel bad about themselves. Well, I'm going to tell you something. There's not a one of us within this room that's not a sinner. Some of us are sinners saved by grace. Some of us haven't got there yet. Not because of anything that we did, but because of everything that He did. And then the resurrection also, the resurrection of Jesus is the source of hope and eternal joy for the believers. Oh, a joy and a peace that passes understanding. You can't explain it. All you know is that you have it. But it is always a source, and it's because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ that we have that. We have forgiveness of sin and a payment of our debt through the cross, but it's the resurrection that makes it all real. You see, if Jesus, as Chad said, if Jesus would have not risen from the dead, Christmas would have been just another birthday of a religious leader. If he had not risen from the dead, he would have died a martyr for his belief, just like so many others, that you would go to a tomb and you would worship at the tomb, the grave of this person, whether it be Muhammad or Buddha or any of these other people. They all have graves and their bodies are there. But not Jesus. Not Jesus. You see, if you go visit Jerusalem, and I've never been there, but I want to go. But if you go to Jerusalem, there's graves. You can go visit graves all over the place. You can go see David, where David's buried. You can go see where Solomon's buried. You go see Sarah's grave. But you know what? There are two places that they believe could have been Jesus' grave. You know what's unique about both of those places? They're empty. There's nobody there. And this is the biggest thing that we have to realize. As the angel said, do not be afraid, because God knows that when we find Jesus, we will have no reason to be afraid. No reason to be afraid. He says, don't be afraid. I know who you're looking for. He's not here. Do not be afraid, because we have no fear, no reason to fear when we know Jesus, when we find Jesus. And then he reminds them this in verse 6a, the first part of verse 6. Just as he said, he is not here, for he is risen, just as he said. How many times did Jesus say something and those were around him, his disciples, didn't understand what he was really talking about? It hadn't clicked. In fact, in different books, Mark, the different Gospels, it says that when the angel said this, they remembered what he had said. And that's when that light bulb went off. And he goes, oh, yeah, he's told us that. But here's what we have to realize, that these ladies, they were distraught. They were sad. The disciples were in hiding. But these two ladies came to the grave. And what were they going to do? I said before I started, he died and they got him off the cross before the Sabbath. So they had to wait to the third day to go and anoint the body and prepare it for burial. Nothing had been done to Jesus. He was taken off the cross, wrapped in the cloth, and put in the grave. So they were there to anoint the body. They were doing their Jewish duty. They were doing what no one else would do. Do you think that they were in a happy, joyous mood? No. The one that they thought was the Messiah had been crucified. They saw him die. They saw him put in the grave, and they were there with the burial spices and everything else to anoint and prepare the body for burial. So these words, they heard what they had not expected to hear. They heard what they had not expected to hear. Do you think it took them back a little bit? You know, when I was in college, I had my first knee surgery, or my second knee surgery, actually. And I was laying in the hospital, and I had developed pleurisy, so my chest was hurting with every breath that I took. And I'm laying there, and I opened my eyes, and there my parents were standing. I closed my eyes again, looked at the door again, and they were still there. I did that about 3 times, and they started laughing at me. And they said, what are you doing? I said, I thought I was dreaming. I didn't know they were coming. I was not expecting them. And it took me back a little bit. Because I was shocked. I was surprised. These women were the same way. They were not expecting, one, to see the angel sitting there. They were not expecting to see the stone rolled away. And they definitely weren't expecting him to tell them that he was not there. They were not expecting it. But they should have expected it. Why? It is what he had promised. Is God a God that keeps his promises? Is there anywhere from the Old Testament at this point in time, the Old Testament was the only scripture they had. Is there any point in time in the Old Testament where God did not keep his promises? Nowhere. Not a single place that God did not keep his promises. And Jesus, being 100% man, but also 100% God, he has that same character, which means that what? Jesus keeps his promises. Always. And he promised that he would rise on the third day. They didn't understand that, but they should have listened and they should have expected it. But they didn't. But here is the greatest thing, this invitation in the second part of verse 6. Matthew 28, 6b says this, "Come see the place where he was lying." Come see the place where he was lying. You see, the stone was rolled away not to let Jesus out. Could locked doors keep Jesus out of a house? No. There are later stories where the disciples are hiding and they have the doors barred and locked. And guess who stands in the middle of them? Jesus. Right through a locked door. Can a fiery furnace keep Jesus out? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego won't bend the knee, so Nebuchadnezzar throws them in the furnace. And he looks in and he says, "Didn't we throw three guys in there?" They said, "Yes, King." He said, "Well, there's four of them, and the fourth one looks like the Son of Man." Jesus was walking through the flames with them. The fire couldn't keep him out. So why in the world would we think that a stone rolled over the entrance to this tomb could keep Jesus in? It was not placed there. It was not rolled away to keep. It was not placed there to keep Jesus in. It was to keep us out. To keep his disciples from taking the body. It was put there to keep everybody else out. The Romans knew, the Sanhedrin, the high priest, they knew Jesus was dead. Nobody could survive what he went through. Having his back ripped open and his ribs showing, being nailed to that cross and going through that torture, and then having a spear pierced into your chest cavity. No one could survive that. His body had already started to break down because the Bible says that when they pierced his side, what flowed out? Water and blood. His body had already started breaking down and it had started separating, and the fluid and the water in the body had started to swell up and it had came out. They knew he was dead. The stone was not there to keep him in, it was to keep us out. And so when the stone was rolled away, it was not to allow Jesus out, but it was to let us see in. In the song, "He's Alive." The story of John and Peter as they run to the grave. And it says that John stopped at the entrance of the tomb and he peered in. And Peter just did a totally Peter type thing. And he just ran past John right into the tomb and looked around. It was to allow us to see in. And this invitation to come see the place where he was lying was to allow us to do three things. We see the Father did not forsake Jesus. Remember on the cross, he says, "Why have you forsaken me? Why have you turned your back?" We know that it's because he became sin for us. But Jesus did not forsake Jesus. He did not forget about his son. And he rose him from the dead. And then we also see that death is conquered. What is our biggest fear? Honestly, if we think about it, our biggest fear is death. But we have to realize that Jesus conquered death. That for believers, those that put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ and follow Him and obey Him and that are His disciples, death is not the end. Death is when our salvation is made complete. Death is where we're brought into His presence because of what He did. That empty grave shows us that. And then third, we see that we are living, or that we have a living Savior in Jesus Christ. We don't serve somebody that's still in the grave. We serve a living Savior. Someone that is there for us to talk to. Somebody that is there to make intercessions for us. The Bible tells us that He is sitting on the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. Oh, to be like Stephen. When Stephen was stoned because of what he was preaching, and he was preaching the gospel, he was stoned, and it says as he was being stoned, he looked up and he saw Jesus. What was Jesus doing when Stephen saw him? Was he sitting down? He says, I see Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. Jesus was standing up, welcoming His servant home. Welcoming His servant home. We see that in the empty grave. And this invitation is to come and see what difference Jesus can make. We have that same invitation in our lives today. We have that same opportunity to come and see the difference that Jesus can make. Our risen Savior changes lives. We have that opportunity. Now, this is not in the notes and it's not on the slides, but I want you to look at verse 7. It says, "And go quickly and tell His disciples that He has risen from the dead." Church, we need to go quickly and tell the world that we have a risen Savior. One that can change their lives. Not because of anything that we do, but because this man, this God man, God in flesh, that walked among us, that gave up His throne, was charged for a crime that He did not commit. Died and shed His blood as our Passover lamb so that God, when He looked at us, He would pass over us and not place His judgment on us. That our Messiah, Jesus Christ, did not stay in that grave, but He rose again to defeat death, hell, and the grave. He rose again. So when we say Christ is alive, He is risen, and yes, He is risen indeed, we need to mean that. Now, as God told the children of Israel to make the Passover a memorial for Him, we, as disciples of Christ, have the same memorial that Jesus said to do in remembrance of me. And that's the Lord's Supper. This was part of their Passover meal that they celebrated. But we call it communion. Remembering that His body was broken and His blood was shed for us. This is something that we as Christians, we do. But I could not in good conscience serve communion without giving everybody the opportunity to repent and accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Here's the thing. We don't have to be perfect. I was talking to a young man yesterday. He said, I'm not perfect. God doesn't expect you to be perfect. Jesus died for you to say. He said, a lot of people don't feel like I'm worth anything, that I'm just a piece of scum.
I said, that's not true. But for two reasons. One, you're created in God's image. Second thing, Jesus loved you enough that he died for you. That makes you worth everything. We need to remember that. But we need to give you the opportunity to respond to what God is doing. As Jesus is calling you and saying, come see the difference. Come see what I can do. This is your opportunity to do this as we sing this song and become part of the family of God. As we sing this song.
Would you stand as we sing hymn number 141, The Old Rugged Cross.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
We're going to sing one more verse, but as we sing this verse, this is your last opportunity. But if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, don't leave today without doing this. Come and see. But as we sing this, I'm going to ask our deacons if they would come ahead and come forward.
Seated.
Here at Crestview, we celebrate what we call open communion. What open communion is that you do not have to be a church member of Crestview Baptist Church to participate in communion. There's only one requirement, is that you have placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior. So if you are a follower of Jesus and you've trusted Jesus, you're more than welcome to join us in communion. Like I said earlier, Jesus and his disciples had gathered together in the upper room to celebrate the Passover meal. And as they were going through the Passover, Jesus took the bread and he began to break it. And he said to them, this is my body that has been broken for you. Our deacons are going to come through and pass out the bread, the representation of Jesus' body that was broken for us. serve the people. And as Jesus took the bread, the Bible says that he blessed it. Blessed Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for what this represents. Dear Lord, this is not his actual body, but dear Lord, it represents the body that was broken for us, the body of our Passover lamb. We thank you for it. Bless it. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, our living Savior, we pray. Amen. And then when he blessed it, Jesus said, take and eat. And then Jesus took the cup of Elijah. And he explained to them that this cup represented the blood that was about to be spilt for them. And we drink it remembering the blood that Jesus shed, paying the price for our sin. And Jesus took the cup and he blessed it. Our blessed Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blood that was spilt for us. What you did on Calvary, dear Lord, once and for all, shedding your blood and tearing the veil that separated us from you. Bless us as we remember your sacrifice. And it's in the holy and precious name of Jesus Christ, our living Savior, we pray. Amen. And Jesus said, take and drink. We are going to sing one verse of a song. And then Whitey is going to say our benediction prayer and blessing the food that we are about to go eat. But remember the words of the song that we're going to sing. Remember what we just did, what it represents in our life. Remember what today is. It is Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, the day that changed everything forever.
And as we sing, because he lives.
God sent his Son. They call him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future. And life is worth the living just because he lives.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this day you've given us to come to your house and worship you on this risen Savior day, Lord. Thank you for putting the plan of salvation together for us, Lord, that we'll be able to spend eternal life with you. For if this not had happened, we'd be all doomed to eternal hell, Lord. Thank you for the day you've given us. Thank you for the opportunity. Thank you for the meal we're about to receive. Lord, we ask that you would bless this food and the ones that prepared it, that bring glory and honor to you. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Senior adults and our guests are welcome to go first.